Bienvenue au train des jeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Car bonne la lente grande effort. Et l'esprit du bel an qui vit en tous les mans. Et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
Hi there, welcome to BizCast Ball, the Basketball BizCast. My name is Corbin Smith. I'm recording this introduction with a new hand device, and I couldn't find my pop screen, so I stuck a sock over the microphones. Just a little behind the scenes stuff. My guest today is Mike Richmond. Mike is a writer and reporter on the topic of the Portland Trailblazers for OregonLive.com, which is a part of the Oregonian. It's all very complicated. We talk about the Blazers and, you know, miscellaneous stuff. You know how this podcast works by now. Enjoy. All right, I'm here with Mike Richmond. Mike, you're a writer. You're a reporter. You work for Oregon Live contemporarily. Is this the case?
It is. And our new nomenclature is the Oregonian / Oregon Live.
Oh, okay.
A lot of characters, so kind of hard to fit in the byline, but that's what I go by.
Getting to the website. The website is not SEO friendly.
I'm not.
You have to write Oregon Live at theoregonian.com, dotcom, to get to the website.
Yeah, and you got to write HTTP. You know, it's still the old school style.
You have to put a key in your computer and turn on a gas engine to make it work.
Yeah, I usually just go through Ask
Jeeves. How do they have money to pay you? How are advertisers?
Well, that's the thing, is that I get paid in lunches. I just get one lunch a week, and that is my salary.
Wow.
Yeah. So
kind of airing out your employer a little bit. Right
No, I mean, it's a really nice lunch.
it's like New Seasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's a walk of my choosing. At New Seasons, and then I get great access to the NBA teams.
I had lunch at New Seasons today. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah,
I'm here at Mike's house. Mike's house is it's a sort of classic Pacific Northwest, like the house style that permeated during the '60s and the '70s and the post-war era. You live in that kind of house. I grew up in a house like this. I don't live in a house like this anymore. I live in a ranch house now.
Uh-huh.
But it's very classic Portland house. Small.
Traditional Northwest feel here.
Yeah, yeah. Green. It's a green house.
Yeah, we run off rainwater and hope.
Anyway, do you have a collector? Do you have a rainwater collector?
No, we do not.
You have a Friends of Trees outside.
We
I know
do.
Some people who work with Friends of Trees.
We are. We had two very large trees removed from our front yard, so they've replanted them, and you know, hopefully in 85 years we'll have two new big trees.
Yeah, it's Friends of Trees is a great organization.
I'm a friend of Friends of Trees.
Yeah, Washington. I'm a master gardener. I know some people who work with Friends of Trees from time to time.
You're on the inside of the Friends of Trees.
Yeah. I'm in the plant, like the local plant culture, I guess. You know, like plant volunteer types. You know, we all run in the same circle.
Yeah, there, it is.
We all go to the plant volunteer
bar.
It's
a tight-knit group, you know. It's hard to get in.
So you write about the Portland Trailblazers.
I do. And I write about them for a wonderful organization. And I would argue for all the flack that the Oregonian gets is that nobody does it better than us.
Did I give the Oregonian any flack?
No, that was mostly me. But let me set the record straight.
Okay,
is that
you're going to defend the Oregonian?
I get tweets a lot. I get comments on stories. The Oregonian, go find a place that does it better than us.
I think the Columbian does great work too.
They do. Hey,
I don't mean to. Like, I've had Eric on before. Eric's young. He's a go getter.
He is. He's an American hero. He's
absolutely.
No, I don't mean to.
Portland Roundball Society obviously doesn't get better than that.
When I was a young man, maybe 19, I applied to work at Portland Roundball Society because I really loved them, and they did not email me back.
Are you okay?
No. Well,
you can write for us now if you want.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody now.
8 years later, they're like, you know what, kid? You're in.
It's just me and a hutch now.
Nice.
Just me and a raft floating down the river.
Well, you guys, you missed out. I was a hot commodity at 19, and
I was definitely a hot commodity at 19.
Yeah, and I've since, you know, slowly worked my way up the ladder. But I would have liked to do it with Portland Roundball Society if only they would have had me.
Well, look, Mike, if you get fired from Oregon Live, we'll have you.
All right.
I mean, if you get fired from Oregon Live and still somehow retain your press pass,
that's it. If I don't have locker room access, then I can't write for Portland Roundball.
No.
Fair. No, that's fair.
Don't be ridiculous.
That's what I bring is that I can, like, you know, walk around in the locker room and say hello to people.
We applied. We didn't get it, I think.
It's fine.
I have no idea what I would ask somebody if I was in a locker room. Like, did you think you basketballed good today? Yeah, then I just wait.
You gotta hold your mic up after you make a statement. Like, yeah. Pretty good game. And then you shove your mic in someone's face.
Pretty good game, Myers. I've never made fun of you on the internet.
I promise, I'm always nice to everyone. Thoughts?
Let's talk about copy. So today, it was announced that DeMarcus Cousins, who's my favorite player, like, I don't even care. DeMarcus is pretty much my favorite, is one of my three or four favorite basketball players. So I'm like, I'm pumped to watch him in the All-Star game. I think DeMarcus is the best. But he got Lillard's spot. And as a partisan of the Portland Trailblazers, I am supposed to feel an overwhelming angst, overwhelming anger. I'm supposed to shout at people on the internet. I don't care. I'm just, you know. But other people do. Anyway, he was not elected to the All-Star team today. Is this the case?
It is indeed.
And he is, he's leaning into it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. You know, Dame's whole thing, his sort of like his driving force has been that he's always felt slighted.
I wasn't recruited.
Right. Even before that, he played on the crappy AAU team.
I was on the bad AAU team.
He wasn't good enough to play for the Oakland Soldiers, so he had to play for the Oakland Rebels or whatever it is. And then he wasn't recruited by any of the schools, so he had to go to Weber State. And then the funniest part is he's a freaking sixth pick in the NBA draft. And he's like, all of these other teams slighted me. Get out of here.
Yeah, they should have taken you instead of Davis.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah.
We're like players who were known commodities, who were young, who had growth potential. Everybody who went ahead of Lillard, I think there's a reasonable case to be made for basically all of
them. Yeah,
that,
and the one that people want to point to is T-Rob, but that's the Kings, and they have no idea what they're doing, so...
Yeah. The Kings probably should have taken Lillard.
Without a doubt. I mean,
Wizards had no need for him.
Right.
Kid Gilchrist, I guess that's kind of a weird one. But.
Yeah, he was, but that's like one of those, he was just the hot, kind of up-and-coming name at the time, and...
Kid Gilchrist was unbelievable to watch in college.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And
he's, and like, still sometimes, Kid Gilchrist in transition, mwah.
Oh, yeah, and mwah. And if they can, and if he can continuously, if he can be, make the leap that he's made in the last 2 years defensively.
How old is Kid Gilchrist now?
Kid Gilchrist, so he came to the league in 19, 20, not yet 24?
Oh, he's younger than that. He's like...
Not yet 23. Because he came to the league at 19?
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's the other thing. He's a little old.
He was. And four-year college players, they get that. So his whole thing is slighted. I'm not... I like that as the fuel to drive him because I think he does a good job of telling himself that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the real challenges of being a good NBA player is figuring out how people have slighted you. Like Kobe, who's, you know, regarded as one of the...
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. He's a 6'8" gentleman, plays for Lakers. Oh. Roughly your entire life.
Trevor Ariza?
Yeah, no. What's it? Earl Clark, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he still tries to find this sort of slighted motivation when he's regarded as the second best shooting guard in the history of the league. So I think that it's like a thing that athletes do. The Lillard stuff where he says, you know, just more wood on the fire, I like it for his purposes. I don't really buy into it personally.
He not only this motivates him personally. I think he also pushes this to anybody who will listen.
He does. He's really on message. Yes. That's what I would say about Dame. He's really on message, and he's very smart. He's well-spoken. He likes the media, and he stands and faces the music, good or bad.
But even if you stand and face the music bad, like, that's always going to be good for you. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Bad PR is the worst thing that could happen to you, really, as an NBA player. It's once you get on...
Well, if you got your hand chopped off.
Yeah, true. And losing your knees sucks. I mean, ask Greg Oden. But once you get on the... Particularly in the Twitter world, if you get on the bad side... You get on the bad side of the media, then everyone is looking like the Boogie stuff. Everyone is looking for reasons to... Well, DeMarcus Cousins is a real jerk. Even though he seems like a nice fellow who just...
He's nice to dogs.
Yeah, and he gets heated sometimes.
So what I'm trying to get at here is Lillard is fantastic copy, right?
Oh yeah, some of the best. Probably my favorite interview on the team. Just because I know maybe Wesley Matthews is a little better because he's fiery, and Dame is kind of
who treats it the most like a wrestling shoot.
Maybe Will Barton.
Oh, well, Memphis. Yeah, that makes sense.
He gets excited. He doesn't talk to the media that much because he spends, you know...
He doesn't play much.
45% of the games watching in his warm-ups. But when he does play, he gets excited and he's ready to go. You know, no one on the team is, like, calling out, like, those dudes in the other locker room can't hang with us. But Will will get excited and sort of pump up his teammates more than maybe other players do.
Do you feel like... If every player just treated it like a wrestling shoot, would basketball writing, from your vantage, which is to say, reporting, would that make it easier? Or would it make it harder to try to shift through?
Yeah, I think it would actually make it a little harder.
If basketball...
Because then the problem is that you know that it's a soap opera going in, and he's, what is the insult he's going to like lob over there before the game starts? And then it just becomes, you know, sort of a race, or it would become, the challenge would be finding something that isn't, smack talk.
Yeah. It's like real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the challenge is to like, man, will they ever criticize another team? And everyone's such good friends and, you know.
I don't know. That's probably like, I don't know. Lillard is creating his own story.
He is, and he's really, really good at it. He's got smart people working with him. I think the Goodwin guys do a really good job of getting him to be like how he did 5 All-Star events last year.
Yeah.
They get him places.
Like, he's not in the game this year. I mean, he might still be. Somebody might still...
LaMarcus might
bail out. Yeah, that's a weird thing. But we'll talk about that in a second. But if he doesn't get in the game, like, it doesn't matter because he is so good at performing this role of, like, being slighted that every fucking person in Portland and everywhere will just buy into it immediately. Like he just makes his own churn well.
The thing going on Twitter as soon as it came out was everyone was saying, do you think Dame's going to go for 50 tonight? Do you think he's going to score 50? No. I do not think he will score 50 against the Hawks, if you were asking.
Yeah, the Hawks are really good.
They're really good. They're a very well-coached, excellent defensive team. I don't think he'll score 50. Will he maybe break out of a shooting slump and not shoot 35% from the field? Sure.
But he might do that anyway.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I'm such a belief in yourself agnostic. It drives me...
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think that players use it more than is actually real. If Kobe Bryant needed motivation to still be... proving haters wrong, he probably wouldn't have had a 17-year career. He's really talented.
I'm a Kobe Bryant hater.
You are?
Yeah, sure.
I think I've converted to loving Kobe Bryant.
Oh, right.
Because I like that he's kind of a crazy person. I like the megalomania. I like that he invented several nicknames for himself.
Here's the thing. I just don't buy it. He feels too self-aware to be like this real megalomaniac. I feel like he's built something. I feel like he does the same thing Lillard does. I think he's smart enough and he has the right people around him that he's built an image of himself that he'll be able to sell forever.
Well, I mean, does he deserve to be? Do you think he should be on the team?
Okay, do I think Lillard should be on the team? I don't know. I don't care.
But do you, okay, the way the All-Star team works with the guys.
Probably.
With the guys is that they think that they don't care.
I think Lillard is probably a more deserving candidate than Westbrook.
Do you think Kevin Durant should be on the team? 21 games?
Ugh, that's so weird.
Because Kevin Durant, 25 a game when he's played.
He's been the best player in the NBA when he's played.
50-40-90. They're winning. With him and Russ on the floor, they're winning 66% of their games. They're 14-7 with the two of them. So they're like, they would be, you know, fourth in the West.
Yeah.
And if they got some momentum, they would be right up there. But he missed 25 games.
Momentum, that's not real. But
it is real. Guys feel
why is it real?
Okay,
why is momentum
okay, real? It is momentum because of positive feelings. It's not real and actually like the ball going in and you playing better, but you spend so much time with these guys, and when you win, you feel good and the plane is happier and you show up to the gym and you're in a better mood and you play. It's not real in that you defend any better or make more shots, but the mood thing is a real part of the league, because half the battle is focusing for four quarters. Like the difference between good and winning and losing is just sort of like, oh yeah, we gotta remember to focus for that first three quarters, and we're not gonna play. And when people are when they feel good, I honestly believe it. When the guys have this like, hey, we're playing pretty well right now, things are going good, they are more apt to get it going faster.
All right.
But the momentum, like in terms of, I made six shots yesterday, I'm going to make six shots again today, total garbage. But bringing the energy.
You just feel like winning creates good chemistry.
Yeah. And I think that the chemistry is a real thing. I mean, the chemistry that you build from winning is a real thing. And that builds into momentum more than any sort of like any actual basketball stuff.
So anyway, I went to New Seasons before I showed up here today. And I went to the deli counter and I got a sandwich with field roast on it and smoked cheese. I'm a vegetarian. Most people probably know that by now. It was an excellent sandwich. I mentioned at the beginning, I wanted to finish mentioning it.
You
go to the New Seasons near your house much, Mike?
There's two New Seasons in my house, and I go to them all the time.
What? Where's the other New Seasons?
Right on Williams. Right up Williams. Not.
So there's one over in Interstate.
And there's one on Williams and Fremont.
How are there so many? You just live equidistant between two New Seasons.
I live in the epicenter of Portland's next step in gentrification.
Is it New Seasonsism?
Yeah, because you build a New Seasons, and then you force out residents, low-income residents, and you build big condos. It's the Portland way.
God damn, we're just not leaning away from anything. Okay. Lillard creating his own myth. I don't know. It's Aldridge up to. So, Aldridge is playing through a strain tendon in his thumb. This is true, right?
Torn. Ligament.
Yes, he needs surgery.
It's the outside ligament on his left thumb. So it connects that from the outside of your left thumb to the joint here. Sounds terrible.
Yeah, you probably couldn't play video games.
No.
That'd be horrible.
I wouldn't even eat breakfast.
Wow, that's
I would fast.
I totally forgot to eat breakfast this morning. And I didn't figure it out until I was on the max today.
Oof.
I went all the way from Vancouver. I had to take two buses before I figured out that I forgot to eat the food today. Anyway, so... his thumb's injured. This is the case.
It is, indeed.
He is playing through it. And I'm just throwing this out here. I was looking at his contract the other day. There's a $1 million likely incentive. And it's not unreasonable to think that $1 million likely incentive is probably for an All-Star appearance.
The All-Star appearance incentive that Zach Lowe tweeted about was $250,000. So kind of in a year where you're going to make $12.5, $13 million, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know what super millions are like, but I don't think $250,000 is a big driving force at all.
I'm not here to tell somebody not to get $250,000. Oh, he has $1 million of incentives in his contract. I don't know what the other 75,000 are, I guess.
Yeah, but. I guess, you know, all NBA.
Yeah.
Maybe the Blazers marks, the rebounding and that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because
sometimes teams will put in those incentives like that, so you stick around, longevity things. But I think I think the driving force behind playing with this injury is he watched them lose to the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "Oh my God, they stink without me."
Do they stink without Aldridge?
Please.
When he got injured, a little piece of me was like, oh, we get to see the Blazers without Aldridge. That could be interesting.
It could be if they had Robin Lopez.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they don't have Lopez or Freeland, and so...
See, because I think they could be a playoff team with the four other starters, Lillard, Matthews, Batum, Lopez, and... a platoon of fours. I don't think they'd be a really good playoff team, but I think they would still get the seven seed with those guys. But no Rolo.
Maybe Batum would have to be good for that to work too.
Yeah. Even he'd have to be not bad. He's hurt.
Okay. Was he always hurt?
He started slow. The first night of the season he had a pretty normal 17-6-5.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, he was really good over the summer.
He was fantastic.
That's the thing. There's no reason to believe that he forgot to play basketball.
No, he didn't leave it in Europe, I don't think.
Yeah.
He at least had it opening night in formerly the Rose Garden.
I'm going to bleep that. Do you know that I bleep that?
Good.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good.
No free ads. The Rose Garden.
In the historic Rose Garden.
Yes.
The
Veterans Memorial Coliseum at Rose Quarter. As far as I'm concerned, the Blazers still play in Vets Memorial.
Me too.
They should play a preseason game in Vets
they
Memorial.
They did
2 year.
Years ago.
Yeah, they should do it every year.
I want preseason in Hawaii, like the Lakers. I'm rooting for that.
Shut up.
Come on.
Because they send you there.
Dare to dream.
Because they send you there because they want to air it on television.
Dare to dream.
You should go to Hawaii. That's the most selfish thing I've heard in my entire
life. I am not
life.
Denying that. I'm for 100% selfish reasons, I want a vacation preseason.
You disgust me. You disgust me. They should play in Vets Memorial. This is because you're from North Carolina. You don't understand what Vets Memorial means to locals.
I don't. I have no idea.
You fucking carpetbagger.
I
guess it's a reverse carpetbagger.
Yeah, I prefer a Wagoneer. My insult should be Wagoneer.
Okay, pardon me, a Wagoneer.
Yeah. I flew out here, though. I didn't walk. It's exhausting. But no, Batum's hurt. That's what I think it is.
It was exhausting to fly?
It would have been exhausting to walk.
Yeah. So Batum's hurt.
He's hurt. I think he started slow for whatever variance that you have in 8 games where sometimes you play bad. That is how basketball works, if you've ever played.
That's how sports works.
Yeah, exactly. You sometimes play poorly. And then I think he got hurt. And then he kind of rushed back because...
Did he have IR time?
He did not. He missed a game?
This year? He's been on the IR recently.
Yeah.
I remember the last game where he was shooting well. I thought that his wrist action looked really good.
The Phoenix game.
Yes, the Phoenix game.
The last three he had when they went up 5 and then eventually blew it, he looked great. Really snapped his
good.
Wrist.
It was I really thought like, wow, his wrist action looks really good.
And then he was miserably injured by the end of the
game. Yeah, and then he was injured, and it was his wrist.
Yeah, and it's a shooting wrist, and he told my colleague Jason Quick that it's a torn ligament, which seems bad.
Yes, that does seem bad.
Lil Deng played a whole year with a torn ligament in his elbow.
That guy's got problems.
But he never shot the ball particularly well.
Yeah.
In
his elbow?
Yeah.
Is it Batum's not his elbow?
It's in his wrist. Okay. And I don't know where it is in his wrist because... if you really want specifics, he gets uncomfortable about it.
Oh, yeah. But, oh my God, I'm so scatterbrained today. I hope you don't mind me saying.
It's all right.
What, you got ready for desserts?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this cookbook. You got a ready for desserts cookbook.
Yeah, David Leibowitz, you know.
Don't know who that is.
Oh, well. He's an American who lived in Paris, a famous chef.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my cookbook. I live with a professional cook.
Oh,
I do, indeed. His name is Jonathan Rodriguez.
Cool. Where does he cut? Let's get
okay,
Jonathan.
Okay, no free
some
ads.
Pub.
No free ads.
No, I'll give Jonathan some. Look, I'll give pub, but no free ads.
No free ads. He works at Radar on Mississippi Avenue in North Portland.
I've never been to Radar.
It is.
They make vegetarian dishes?
They do. They do. They have. I highly recommend the cauliflower and the beets. I don't know about entrees, vegetarian entrees, though, but that's the real.
That's not good.
That's the plight of a vegetarian, I guess, is that everyone wants to serve you a salad.
Oh, I like salad.
It's no, but they want to serve you like a, you know, I'm talking a little salad. Like, hope you're hungry, kid.
Yeah. Well, actually, the problem is that everybody calls me kid.
Because you're a vegetarian?
Yeah. I'm like a 26-year-old man. You can't just call me kid.
Just because I don't eat
just because I don't eat
flesh.
Meat. Yeah. Fucking dick.
Oh,
then I call him a dick, and they go, whoa, young
man. So your meals.
Whoa, young man.
Your meals outside of your home are very, very violent.
Oh, yeah, every time. I went to do seasons today. I didn't finish that story. The second half of this story is that I said, hey, can I have field roast on something? And they said, all right, little man. And I said, don't call me that. And then I got kicked out of New Seasons.
That's too bad. But you still got the sandwich because you...
Well, I stole it.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad that's on the pod.
Yeah.
Let them know.
See if the fucking new Seasons company won't come after me.
See you in hell, New Seasons.
Yeah.
That was a serious backhand.
So Blazers are, they're not as good lately as they have been because everybody's injured.
It's catching up with them.
When's Freeland coming back?
I would guess after the All-Star break.
Okay.
This was a 2-week thing where they said the Blazers aren't, they're getting more Belichickian in their resistance to giving injuries.
Oh.
Eventually they're going to say he has an upper body injury like the NHL or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not super big on, like when Robin Lopez fractured his hand, how I know that he fractured the third and fourth metacarpals in his hand is that he tweeted it.
Oh. Huh. They didn't say anything. I remember on the internet, somebody talked to Holdall or somebody and said like, hey, I saw Joel Freeland.
The guy on the street.
I saw Joel
this.
Freeland in the street.
I love
him. And
this.
He told me that he was going to be out 5 to 8 weeks. And Quick or Holdall. I don't remember what it was.
It was Holdall.
I think it was Casey. And he said, well, look, I can't respond to what Freeland's telling people in the street. In the streets.
I'm imagining the scenario when something like this. Like, I know Joel lives, and I don't want to sell him out, but I know Joel lives in Northwest Portland somewhere. So,
oh, my God. You sold... You don't want to sell him out.
But
what's his specific address?
Yeah. 417. No. He lives in Northwest somewhere. He's one of the few guys who lives in the city. All of them live in the suburbs.
Beaverton?
Yeah.
Does anyone live in Vancouver?
Not that I know of, no.
That's a shame.
But...
I guess that there's no reason to live in Vancouver because
too
I think,
far.
I think there's a no. It's not too far. It's a there's a tax problem.
But you got to drive to the practice facility every day in Tualatin. That's a heck of a trek.
Oh, that too.
So that's why a lot of them live out there.
Where's Tualatin in relation to Portland?
South and west, but south.
Well, how is something south of Portland?
Because
so wait, like here's Portland, and then like. In the southwest corner of Portland.
Yeah, so here's so like as you had say this is the
we got
highway coming down. I'm doing a diagram here.
We got a hand circle.
Where the this is your city. It's actually more like a blob like that, but comes through here. So Tualatin is down here in the southwest corner.
Okay.
As you head south.
So what's west of Vancouver? Is anything west of Vancouver? I can't remember. Anyway. The ocean? Where's the ocean?
It's, 100 miles west of here.
Oh, shit. Where are the mountains?
Well, there's several of them, but some of them are east.
What's your favorite mountain?
In ever?
No, in the area. I care about your favorite mountain.
All-time fave mountain. No, my favorite mountain in the area is really lame, but it's Mount Hood.
Yeah,
but
this
comes...
Lame.
That's
super
lame.
That's super lame.
Keep that, though.
It's not even a volcano.
But, no, this is why. Because I took a course in college in which... It was a jazz appreciation course, and there was this analogy.
And you saw the mountain play jazz.
And there was this analogy that my teacher, Dave Becker, used, Professor Dave Becker used, that he said that Louis Armstrong was like the Mount Hood of 1920s jazz. So then I always referred to Mount Hood as Satchmo. And I would say regularly,
So you have a nickname for Mount Hood that nobody else has.
Yeah. So that's
why Mount Hood's preference. Your favorite.
Yeah, because I'm like, Satchmo looked very nice today, and no one knows what I'm talking about, and I get some sort of, I don't know.
You know, I look, I'm into this. Hopefully the world hears this.
You know, 18, 19, 20 listeners, I'll be good with that.
I'm more than 18. What the
heck? No, I'm setting my own standard low. You could have thousands.
I have a million
listeners. You have the HP network behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're violently behind me. They beat people up in my name.
I heard Corbin's got beef.
Yeah, I'll mobilize any second. Somebody talks back to me, man.
Good.
You're gonna have a mean on you.
Please don't.
Jordan
White. Now that you know where I live.
Jordan White's gonna come thundering down on you.
I can't.
Matt Moore owns a battleship.
Does he? Is he blogging from the battleship now?
Yeah.
I met Matt Moore at Summer League. I shook his hand. I'm sure he does.
How's Matt's handshake?
It was unremarkable.
Oh my god! No, but I just publish that.
I mean that I don't remember it, but unremarkable. It wasn't like I was like, holy shit! Now that's how a boss shakes hands.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I was like sitting next to him. Well, I accidentally sat in like the whole HP section when I was like getting ready to cover a game, and then they all came back from wherever they were.
Uh-huh.
And they
beat you up.
And I was like in the middle of them, and I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a print journalist. And so then I was like, hi, I know who you are, I guess, because I like.
Did you ever go to the Pro-Am?
Portland Pro-Am? No, I've never been to Portland one in Seattle. This summer, they're going to have it. I have been to a Pro-Am in the past, and it was the Pro-Am of the Fat Summer of Raymond Felton. I was there with my father.
In North Carolina?
At NCCU.
Have you seen, North Carolina. Have you seen, look, I don't give a shit. Have you seen Wallace play in the North Carolina?
I have.
Pro-Am?
Same
Holy
night.
Holy shit.
Same night.
Tell me. I could listen.
This was the same game
about Wallace playing in a pro-am. Please, I don't care that Raymond Felton is in the pro-am. Please tell me everything about Rasheed playing in a North Carolina
pro-am. So this was
pro-am.
The Rasheed team was Rasheed, a couple dudes from overseas, and PJ Hairston of the greatest flop in NBA history fame.
God bless him. I fucking love. I love what PJ Hairston is doing with Unfairness.
But Sheed, he wasn't very mobile in that game, but he was very vocal.
So he would basically travel
3-point line to 3-point line, and because getting closer than that is like such a joke. He didn't want to have someone get scored on, you know. That's for goons.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well just...
that's for the PJ Hairston.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Julius Hodge was playing on the other team. Do you know who that is?
Sure.
Former NC State player drafted by the Nuggets, blew out his ACL.
Yes, I know who
Julius. So that was like the matchup. But Sheed was just kind of walking 3-point line, and he was talking loud enough that I was about halfway up in the stadium that I could. It was like he was
talking
to me.
What'd he say?
He would be like, he would say a lot of good shit, boy. That was like one of his favorite things. If someone would take a shot, I'd be like, good shit, boy, good shit. And that was his main modes of encouragement. But he would do a lot of head shaking, a lot of back and forths, a lot of up and downs, and let people know. And then he would just sub himself out, which I really liked.
He would just walk out of the
game. He would look at the bench and kind of like nod to one of the guys on the end of the bench and just sub himself out. Because this had refs and fouls and all that. So he would kind of wait until he knew that there was going to be a stoppage in play. And be like, yep, Sheed is done. And then he would sit on the sidelines.
My favorite Grantland story of all time is a very brief thing about Wallace playing in the North Carolina Pro-Am, where he harangues refs for calls the whole game. And he at one point he gets a call and he turns to the ref and he says, that's a weak-ass foul.
That's about right.
Yeah.
I think this was when the summer after his Boston stint.
Fat Felton was, I think that was the summer after the summer.
So two summers removed from the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think he was still like, maybe I'll come back and play. So he was like, not as, at least in the evening I saw, as sort of aggressive towards the whole world of basketball. He was doing the fatherly Sheed thing, encouraging players.
God bless him. God bless him.
I mean, listen, he's a real hero. He's great.
Our children should look up to Rashid.
I will probably name my kid Rashid Richmond, boy or girl, because I think that's a solid gender neutral name.
Yeah, you can probably work that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We got a little off topic here, Mike.
We did. That happens.
I don't know.
You're gonna have a lot of editing
you,
here.
You're going to every game this year.
I don't. I travel about 30.
At the very least, you go to every home.
30% of the road trip. So yeah, every home game.
What is it? Is it a grind? Like
it is. So this is my first season as an actual beat reporter. I traveled with the team in the playoffs last year, and I covered a bunch of home games, mm-hmm. doing mostly multimedia stuff and sort of writing sidebars and just kind of being an auxiliary third, fourth, fifth guy on the team. But now I was kind of like the Steve Blake of the Oregonian last year. Now I moved into the...
Mike Barrett just loved you.
Me and Mike are tight. Now, as my first season of the beat, I have, you know, covered some road back-to-backs and kind of seen how difficult that is. And I realized that waking up in a new city every day and being able to have the energy to write something creative and insightful is a real challenge. It's not as hard as playing 40 minutes of NBA basketball like the guys that I'm writing about, but it is a grind.
Give yourself some credit. It's hard.
It is. No, it's hard work.
It's way harder than playing
NBA. It's significantly harder than all of that being, you know, top 1% athletes in the world.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult. And then, you know, when you have like a bad day, it's not like you don't have a deadline.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, I wrote something that I don't really like. Too late. You got a game in 6 hours. You better start on the next thing. So that has absolutely been a challenge. It's sort of the, how it never stops.
I've been writing recaps for Roundball. I hate it.
Recaps are tough.
It's just like,
who's your, do you have a favorite recap writer in the, like in the NBA world?
Probably Seth.
Seth
Rosenthal, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Or Seth or Bob, but...
I think...
Bob's like my friend. I feel like I should say Bob.
Do you know Candace Buckner? She used to write for the Columbian.
No, I do not know her.
She used to write for the
Columbian. I know she used to write for Columbian.
And now she works for the Indy Star.
Yeah.
She is nails on recaps. I read her stuff because I'm like, why don't... In my 90-minute window where I have to write something, how come I can't pull out these beautiful little things? So she's my real shining star for writing like recaps that are both informative and like worth reading.
Yeah. So I'm nobody pays me, so I'm just so inconsistent about it. And
but do you think you'd be more consistent or less consistent if you were getting paid?
I'd probably be more consistent. I'd probably hew towards whatever somebody paid me to do. Here's the thing, I write recaps like a crazy person. Like I'm a lunatic. Like I'm like a shambling drifter at this point.
Would you consider yourself off topic a Blazer fan? Are you a fan?
I'm glad somebody finally asked.
Yeah.
I am.
But are you actually like? Are you like woohoo, rah rah?
No.
Do you like?
No.
Do you feel good when they win, or do you feel like? Well, goes to the news.
I feel good when they win. I thought. When Lillard hit the shot,
I was going to ask.
The shot in the Houston series, I was so excited. I was very thrilled about that. But like,
that was a special basketball moment. I think anyone who liked basketball would have been like, "Wow, what a cool
thing!"
Yeah,
but even in the condo, I felt it more. I'll say that.
Okay.
But like in a churn to churn, and just like in the churn of the fucking thing, I really care way more about what's interesting than I care about whether or not the Blazers win.
Yeah, I'm more of a...
I also think that the fan climate around here is really like kooky and not... they're so into it.
They are.
I just don't have that kind of juice.
I don't have the juice to wake up every day... Even when I was not on the beat and I was just kind of like following the league, I much preferred to be like, here are the 9 or 12 players that I really enjoy watching. I'm going to go watch them and I don't give a shit about the results.
Yeah. When I wasn't writing recaps every day, I would just watch whatever. And
who are your favorite League Pass teams? Even if you don't have League Pass.
I do have League Pass. Please. Please.
Self-respecting.
Who am I up on this year? This is part of the thing about watching every Blazers game too, is that it reduces my frame of reference. The Bucks, the Kings, not as much since they.
But they were fun. Those first 11 games were fun as hell. Fucking
the greatest. Bucks, the Kings, Hawks. I love Wall. I love watching.
Isn't he the most entertaining player in the league?
My perennial favorite is the Grizzlies. I like sometimes when the Grizzlies play the Blazers, I find it hard not to.
Oh, I mean, because Z-Bo and Gasol.
Yeah, Gasol's my favorite player to watch. Gasol and Wall and Cousins are my favorite players to watch.
So you like skilled big guys and people who move faster than
I just people. Like Wall. It's not. I don't. I'm not like
that. He's not an archetype of people you like.
No, he's not. I think he's really clever, and I think that he's clever in a way that most of those like dynamic point guards aren't. Mostly with the way he needles corner threes. Whenever mm-hmm. That's unbelievable how good he is at it, and how much he improves the wings he plays with.
Oh man,
that's insane.
Yeah, like I don't think Otto Porter is good. Like I know that there's this big push for me to believe that Otto Porter is a good player and blah 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 blah. But I think he's really good with John Wall.
Yeah, or Rasul Butler. That is a crazy
out of nowhere,
story.
And now that he, is a crazy and now he story. Shoots 45% from three, and he's just great.
Yeah, and
Garrett Temple was pretty good with John Wall.
Yeah, that's because of Wall. Wall is so good at finding shooters that like.
Does that mean Brad Beal stinks?
No, he's probably good.
I like Brad Beal a lot.
I think Beal would probably be good with any team, but some of these guys wouldn't.
Right, Rasul Butler, I don't think would have been shooting 47% from three if he didn't play with John Wall, and maybe the big guys too.
Yeah. Oh, I also like watching Nene a lot.
Yeah.
Did you, my last year in the playoffs? I hope I haven't talked about this before. I think I probably have. I'll talk about it again. Last year in the playoffs, Nene and Snell were going for a loose ball, and Snell like dove to the ground, killed himself. It was just like dying to get that rebound, and Nene went whoop and just picked it up off the ground with his hand and took it away from him. And that was probably my favorite basketball play of the last year, I think, because it's just like doesn't matter. I don't like hustle. I like skill a lot more than I like hustle. And so when I just watching Snell like I'm gonna die for this, and then Nene just going I don't know. Here you go.
Do you know that Nene dresses like a swaggy pirate when he's not playing basketball?
I know that a little bit.
Yeah, he rocks he rocks like a. Like, it's not a do-rag, because it's not, like, tied tight, but it's
A scarf.
Headscarf, but his dreads come out the back. Mm-hmm. His ponytail comes out the back. And then he's, like, a super millionaire, so he's got, like, a shiny t-shirt and tight pants on.
Because God bless him. God bless him.
I saw him in the back of the historic Rose Garden, and I was like, dude, I want to go hang out with Nene. Like, I don't want to write tonight. I just want to, like, go where he's going and, like, swashbuckle and stuff.
You probably shouldn't do that.
It would be weird, especially because if I'm like, you want to swashbuckle? And then, like, he's like, I don't know what that is. Get away from me.
Security.
Yeah. And then I have to, you know, call someone and be like, yeah, sorry, didn't make deadline because I made a weird swashbuckling
comment. And some security guards threw me in the Willamette.
Yeah, there you go. I'm kind of a lazy swimmer, so I've just been kind of doggy paddling.
Up the Willamette. It's been a year. You guys probably fired me a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I have not showed up for work in a while.
Because I've floated down the Willamette River and ended up in the ocean. And it's went on an odyssey. All right, that's good.
Perfect.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you to Mike. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike G. Rich. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbina Smith. That's Corbina Smith. I'm gonna be in around New York next week. Hopefully get some interviews in. So I don't know. Have a good week, I guess.